The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Since the scriptures show us our collective separation, because of our sins, we need some help. Enter Jesus, the divine response to our problems. Also, if there's a second Adam as the Bible teaches, does that mean there is a separate, unique collection of human beings? Oh, that's just weird. Also, whether fear, whether far or near, boy, I can't talk. I'm in trouble. Whether far or near, without access to God, we are all lost.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. All three good ideas. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelation, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much. You know, I'd come home from school, and I would have my report card, and my mom would look at me and look at the report card, and she would just go, oy vey. That's how oy vey applies. Keep in mind, we are going to give you the opportunity to share in trivia, in praise reports, in prayer requests, whatever you'd like. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Nope, not professional. Not even close. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, next segment, we're going to do our Clint Mystery Store read. But before we do that, I want to do a quick shout-out because I did have communication with Clint today. He is, in fact, going to be in the studio next week on Wednesday for a whole hour. And he's a lot of fun to have in the studio. He's got a great testimony. Mystery Store is a great company. Plus, we'll have a chance to talk about the Adoptive Training Foundation, and it'll just be a lot of fun. So that's cool. We want you to keep in prayer for Clint and his company, of course. Now, let me tell you what's going on. Just going to freak you out. Freak out. Here we go. I had that chance to meet with a couple, and primarily her name is Kimberly McQuinn. She is a Fathom realtor, and she is the one that the Lord just like, bam, just kind of dropped it on me. And I said, whatever you feel is comfortable, whatever you feel is right, whatever you need, we're going to try and help you with. Your plan, your price, you tell us, we'll honor it. And I remember mentioning that yesterday and just thinking, just that is just so, that's bananas. We don't have a banana sound. We need a banana sound. I don't know what that would be, but kind of be like a Woody Allen banana sound or something.
I don't know. Maybe the banana splits.
Oh, good. Very good. We'll have to get that in the future. That's bananas. Guess what? I had a meeting today with Cheryl and Ross and Cheryl, brother and sister. They own Pilgrim Mortgage. And guess what? Same deal. I offered the same deal. Yeah, I know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm losing my mind. I had an opportunity to talk with Sonia and John Ashford from Ashford Insurance Company. Same deal. I had a chance to talk with Bill Mertz, Master Tech Technician. Same deal. Here's what we're doing. You're thinking, what's wrong with you? Well, I did fall on my head when I was, in fact, 9. Actually, I fell 11 feet from the top of the ceiling straight down on cement. I'll tell you about that story. Sometimes. That actually happened. I had an egg on my head. I mean, the bump was so big, I was in the hospital for 3 days. And you know what I got? Comic books and candy. That's all I cared about. They're doing all these tests. They're like, nothing in there. I could have told you that. Anyhow, so these people that I'm working with, these are wonderful people. And wait till Clint comes in. He's going to get a surprise of a lifetime. He doesn't even know about it yet. Here's the bottom line. I just get this impression from the Lord that things are changing, and it doesn't matter from an economic point of view what you think it should be, shouldn't be, how it should be. This is the system, blah, 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 blah. The kingdom of God prevails, and the kingdom of God is first. And this is what God is asking me to do. He's not asking anybody else to do it. He's asking me to do it, and I can either say yes or no. I choose to say yes. When the rich young ruler had the opportunity, remember, Jesus did not say what to the rich young ruler. He didn't say that to everybody, just to that guy. He said, yeah, dude, you need to sell it all and walk away and walk after me. Just said it to one guy. Notice he didn't say it to the widow woman. She did it by herself. That's her own deal. And that guy was like, no, I don't want to follow Jesus that much. I don't know. How much value does he have? I don't know. It cost him his salvation. So, I don't know. Eternity away from Jesus, eternity with Jesus. It's not the normal business function. I don't care. In fact, if you have a business and you're listening and you're thinking, well, I want to get in on that, get in touch with me. I will honor it because I want to do it. You think, well, people will take advantage. My brothers and sisters in the Lord will not take advantage. They'll do what's right, do the best they can. I'll do my best to help them, and that's how we'll do it. And you're thinking, that's radical. Nope, that's how we're going to go from we're going to go from 1 hour a day to 2 hours a day. That's how we're going to do it. Oh, you're like, you're crazy. Yeah, I know. Speaking of that, guess what holiday it is today? Do you have any idea?
I do not know.
Uh-oh. Well, first of all, it's bittersweet chocolate with almonds day.
Oh, I do like that.
Okay. Now, I don't get that. Why isn't it just chocolate with almonds? Is bittersweet chocolate with almonds better?
I prefer dark chocolate.
You and my wife should just get together and have coffee and talk or something. I don't know. The second holiday is National Nonfiction Day, but I think it's made up. Okay, that's a joke. See how you do that? See, all right. And then the third thing is technically it's Men Make Dinner Day. Okay. I know how to make dinner. 1-800-D-O-M-I-N-O-N. Oh, sorry. That's all I mean. You want me to make dinner. I'm the guy that can burn the water. Okay? I'm good at stuff like that. For those that, Rana, really think this is kind of cool, on this day, by the way, even though he's passed on, the legend has passed on this day, 1918, this is the birthday of Billy Graham. And I just have a lot of respect for Billy Graham. So being a Baptist, that guy was just light years ahead. Did you know that in 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 1990s, he was voted the person most admired, the man most admired in the United States?
I did not know that.
How about that? That's pretty impressive. Okay. So I'm telling you all that stuff just so you can see what's happening, what's going on. I try to keep you up to date the best I can. Let's get into our expository teaching. No personal pride or self-homage whatsoever. So we're doing expository preaching on Ephesians chapter 2, and we are covering verses 14 through 18. I just want to make sure you understand what's going on so you're not completely in the dark. So in Ephesians chapter 2, as we're going through the chapter, you find out that verses 1 through 10, Paul was talking about the conditions of individuals. That's where you get the great Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And then in Ephesians 11, chapter 2, verse 11 through 22, he's talking about our condition as like a collective group. And last week, we talked about the separation of the group and so on. Well, this is verse 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And this is all about how God responds to us as a group that has collectively separated from God. Listen to some of this stuff. It's some of the best stuff there is. It says this in I'll read it from verse 13 and then just go through verse 18. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law. Did you hear that? By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Let's just get right to the core. The passage says in verse 14, Jesus himself is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Isn't that one of his titles? I don't know if you know this or not, but a prince seems to have quite a bit of authority in their position. He is the Prince of Peace, and here's something that he did that is amazing, is he, in his gracefulness, in his mercy, bringing that peace, he made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. And there was a tremendous amount of separation between Jews and Gentiles, especially back in the early church. And Paul had in mind the temple wall, and that temple wall separated Jews and Gentiles. Like the Berlin Wall separated the East and West, there was a wall in the temple that separated Jews and Gentiles. And there was a great tension there because the Jews tried to keep the law and the Gentiles didn't care about the law, and there was great tension. But if you read what we just read, how Jesus, in effect, took the law down, people are like, well, no, Jesus, he didn't take the law down. Okay, listen, when it says, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, it means he took the law down. And oh, by the way, if you need some backup, because some people for some reason will look at a scripture and not get it all, here's the backup. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. What is he? He's the end of the law. He is the one that brought it to a close so that it all rests in him. In him is the fulfillment of the obligations. So if we're in him, the law is fulfilled. It's like, ooh, starting to theologically make sense. That's nothing. When we come back from this break, I'm going to share two things, one of them about money, that will be a little contrary to what you've heard before, but that's only because I love you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, right. This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this, Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind, and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
You're here when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. See, if you want to, by the way, livinginhisgrip.com is where that music comes from. It is free. You can go to the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N. I think that's how you spell hymn. Project on that, livinginhisgrip.com. If you want to email us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com. I was not kidding about that. If you have a business or something and you want to be a part of the show, and we'll be glad to send you off the information, but you're the one that has to make the determination as to what parts of the plans you want to use and what you want to pay. And then we'll honor it. And you're thinking, that's just absolutely crazy. Just crazy enough. Just weird enough for me to believe the Lord is in the middle of it. It's kind of how I operate. All right, so for those that are not aware, we're talking about Ephesians. We're going to do our Restore.
Here I come to save the day.
You can keep going.
Not now.
No, go ahead. We can do it now.
I mean,
we
got it. Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
I'm in such a good mood today, I'm not even going to ask you to call for a trivia question and tell me whose song that is.
That's how good of a mood I'm in.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke damage cleanup, wind damage cleanup, flood damage cleanup. Here's the thing. Any damage cleanup, that's what Mr. Restore is all about. Sewage removal, other restoration services. I don't care if you are an individual, maybe you have an office building, or maybe you are a real estate agent, or maybe you're involved in financial realm and you know people that need some work on stuff. Mr. Restore is totally awesome for a company. First, you got free evaluations, advanced drawing technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They just don't do any of the funny stuff. They are A-plus rated with the BBB, 50 years of restoration experience, family-owned and operated. Clint, by the way, is their owner. He's a born-again, Bible-believing Christian who loves Jesus Christ. Hey, there's an idea. And they have thousands of happy customers. I saw their truck out just the other day. The Mr. Restore truck was out there right out by Rockwall. Actually, in between Rockwall and Fate, just yesterday. MrRestore.com. That's their website. MrRestore.com. You are welcome to reach out to them by phone, 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. Okay. And Clint, like I said, is going to be in next week. I'm excited about that because I want to hear what's going on. I was sharing with like 10 different people about the Adaptive Training Foundation. I just think stuff like that's cool. I think kingdom stuff is cool, and it's more important for us to recognize that. Not everything is about us. I know, darn. But it's always great to hear what God is doing in people's lives, because that's your brother, that's your sister, that's your spiritual family. You're connected. You have the same dad. You are blood relatives, and you drink of the same Holy Spirit.
So it's like that's
a lot of connection there. Okay? All right. All right? All right. All right. Let me say this real quickly before we go down this road, because some people will take this Ephesians 2 text and they will say, well, gosh golly, that just means as we go through this text, they're going to say, well, gosh golly, the church has now become Israel. Okay, that theology is the reason that it's ridiculous is simply the first verse in the New Testament. That's all you got to know. What's the first verse in the New Testament say? It has to do with King David and Abraham and everything descending from them. God's not done with Israel. The problem is that not all of Israel is Israel. That's the problem. So every time they say Israel and then they point, not everybody who's in that the Jewish state is actually of Israel. You got to keep that in mind. That's what the scripture said 2,000 years ago before they even had the state in 1948. Like, get that stuff together, will you, people? Okay. Let's go back to this, though. One, Jesus is our peace. Number two, he broke down the dividing wall. What dividing wall? The dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. If you think there were problems, you think there's problems now in America with race? You're kidding, right? These people are there in the news and everything. They make it like, well, it's all about race. It's all about sexism. It's all about misogynism. It's all about this. It's all about that. It's all about this. It's all about narcissism in America. Here's the problem. The problem is the real tension was that the Jews and the Gentiles, it was so bad that they wouldn't even look at each other, let alone engage with each other, unless they were forced to, and they didn't want to. The Jews tried to keep the law. The Gentiles didn't care about the law. There's a great tension. Jesus comes along, and Jesus, when he brings an end to the law, that doesn't mean that the law is just ripped up and thrown out. He fulfills it. He makes all the obligations of the law fulfilled in his life and in his sacrifice. And for people that don't understand, the law is in three elements. There's a moral law, a civil law, and a ceremonial law. Jesus took care of the ceremonial law. Done. Now, the moral law has never changed, which is why the sins in the Old Testament, which are moral, thou shalt not murder, still apply to the New Testament, only more so because if you're angry at your brother in your heart, you've already committed murder. So the law intensified. And then in regards to the civil law, it is supposed to never trample upon the moral law. Unfortunately, we see a lot of that taking place of late. But what Jesus did was he brought in, by bringing an end to the law, a element of destroying the separation between Jew and Gentile. This was one of his big goals. Now, let me make a quick caveat, and I want to just get this out of my system, because if I don't, I'll be real upset. So I believe in giving. I believe in giving. It's really important. I believe you should give. I'm terrible at giving. I'm asking God to help me to be better at giving. Jesus made reference to tithing in the Matthew section. We know that's true, and that is a fact. And Scripture talks about setting aside money on a regular basis. That's a fact. And you know sowing and reaping is true. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. You just got to look at Galatians. You just got to look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, 10. You understand it's all in there. Nobody's freaking out. Generous people have a more of a generous kind of mentality, and it seems to work out a little bit more in generosity for them. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's where it is wrong. Number one, there is no curse on any Christian for not paying tithes. Absurd. That would mean that the curse of the law is still in play. There's no reality there. That's just biblically unfounded. Number two, and I'm a big proponent of this, give, 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 but don't say something the Bible doesn't say. And what a lot of people will say is, remember when Abraham paid 10% to Melchizedek? Most of you remember that, right? And they're thinking, see, that proves everybody should pay 10%. Wrong. That 10% that Abraham paid, he paid to Melchizedek based on what he had obtained through that war. He didn't pay Melchizedek 10% of everything of his previous gains. It was that war that he paid everything. He paid 10% on everything. And then Abraham gave the other 90% away. So if you want to use Melchizedek and Abraham as your example of giving, Abraham kept nothing of the bounty. Nothing. He gave it all away. 10%, try 100%. We'll discuss how that affects people later on. I just had to throw that out there. But Jesus, by bringing an end to the law, did something amazing that people don't recognize. He struck the power of the tension between the Jew and the Gentile. He struck the power not of the difference of Jew and Gentile, but of the separation of Jew and Gentile. And the key is, why did he do that? And listen to what it says. For he himself is our peace, who made the two one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was... Stop. We're about to find out why he did that. Now, isn't that important? Well, why would Jesus do that? Why did Jesus strike the wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile? Why did Jesus, who abolished in his flesh the law with the commandments and regulations, why did he bring it to an end? He's the peace. Why did Jesus do that? It tells us his purpose was, get ready, to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. Now listen, we're going to dive into this when we get back. His purpose was to make, get this, a fresh new man. This is why Jesus is referenced in Romans chapter 5 and his 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45 as the second Adam. Because in Christ, he created a new race. Oh, you can't say the word race. Okay, what's wrong with people? He created a new race. He didn't make the Gentile like the Jew or the Jew like the Gentile. He made Jew and Gentile Christian. That's the new race. And people are like, what? What? He took the hostility between the Jew and the Gentile and he went, I think I did that pretty good. And took that hostility, blew it out, and made a new group of people called Christians. And people go, well, the followers of Jesus who were called Christians first in the Antioch, that was a negative thing. So what? That's not what it is now. And Jesus created a new entity. You could just say Christ followers. I had a pastor actually say, I can only say Christ followers. Okay, fine. If that makes you happy, I support you. Here's the bottom line. He took the Jew and the Gentile and he went and made believers. This new race of people. That's why Jesus is called the new Adam. It's like a whole new race of people. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm having fun.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back. I got to explore more of this when we get back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Destroying everyone.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries.
play that again.
Apparently now, being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I probably should do this. Yes, email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Yes, website davidspoonmedia.com. If you guys, every once in a while, you'll hear somebody who has a little bit of a similar sound to my voice, that is my brother. Okay, he is a musician, Billy Spoon. You know, I love him. He's my older brother. At some point we'll have him on the show, although when he comes on the show, I call him Wilhelm Spoon. It's a joke. It's a family joke. It's just not something you're going to get, but it's funny to me. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line, he's got some great music, and I think you can get some of his stuff at Reverb Nation, stuff like that. Billy Spoon, great music. I was listening the other day to something that he wrote. Really, his writing was far, far better than he is.
Who would know that better than me?
I mean, I'm his brother. We're the two guys in our family that became Christians, and our entire family disowned us. We even talked to some of our family members. We've been Christians for 41 years. He was saved, I think, 4 weeks or 3 weeks, 4 weeks before me. He was the one that led me to the Lord, we haven't talked to them literally in 40 years, and I think him and I both think that's okay. Some of them don't need to be talked to for 40 years. It's kind of how we look at it. We're pretty close. Let's put it that way. Let's get our trivia going, and then we'll get back to the Ephesians text. I know some people are like going, I'm freaking out. I can't believe he talked about, you know, Israel, and then he talked about, you know, the church, and the church is not Israel, and Israel's not the church. And sure, there's some bleed and some mix over and so on and so forth, but come on, people. It's a remnant that he's going to keep out of Israel. That's just what it says in Romans. It's not that even that complex. How that all is going to come about, I don't know. Here's what I do know. In Romans, it says, what will be the turning of the Jewish people to the nation, to the Messiah, except for the resurrection of the dead? I'll tell you one thing. When the Jewish people in any kind of mass do become Christians, that's when you can call game over. That's when you can say lights out. Night, night, Gracie. See ya. Okay, that's really what you got to know. But those are some of those deeper elements that we get into. And also people freaking out on the Abraham and Melchizedek thing. Just read it. Abraham kept nothing. He didn't just pay 10%. He paid 10% to Melchizedek. The rest of it he gave away. He gave away to the people that he was fighting with. He didn't keep anything. He had plenty. As A.W. Tozer wisely said, Abraham lived his life as though he possessed nothing, yet he owned everything. Because he was a friend of God. It's all you need. It's like, wow, that is gutsy. Yeah, that's what happens when you believe God. Gutsy things happen. Let's do this. Let's ask you the big trivia question. What happened to the temple curtain when Jesus was killed, when he was crucified, when he died, what happened to the temple curtain? 972-445-0770. And then if you call in, please do me a favor. Don't put your radio up because we get feedback, and then poor Wonder Julie will have more of a headache. You don't want more of a headache, right? You already got a headache, right?
I do not.
Okay. I'm trying to help her. That's all. 972-445-0770. What happened to the temple curtain when Jesus was crucified? We'll get into that in a second. So while people are going through that, I want to make sure you understand what's going on. I'm going to read the text and kind of comment as I go through it. This will make a lot more sense as we go through it in totality. For Jesus himself is our peace, okay? The answer for reconciliation between you and God is Jesus Christ. If you are not a Christian and you are in need of having peace with God, the answer is through Jesus Christ. Ask God right now, invite him into your life, and ask Jesus Christ to be your Messiah, and you will find peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. Okay, for he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. How do you make that reconciliation? Through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Jesus brought the peace by what he did. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, this is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. How are you today?
I'm recovering. Okay. I'm recovering slowly but surely.
All right. And I'm praying for you on a regular basis. You probably want to turn that radio down just a little. I can hear myself in that back noise. If you got a radio on. Talk to me. Are you feeling better, though, on a day-by-day basis?
Yeah, do what now?
Are you feeling better day-by-day?
Yeah. I'm gaining strength to 75. It takes takes a little bit of work to get back where you were. So
takes a little bit longer, huh?
Yeah, right. But anyway, yeah, I'm blessed. So it just takes a little longer for an old man than it does a young man. So we're getting there.
All right, my friend. All right, I think I'm pretty confident you're going to know this, and then I'm going to do a little a question to ask you afterwards. But what happened to the temple curtain when Jesus was crucified? What happened to that temple curtain?
It was torn from top to bottom.
That is exactly correct. Yes, sir. Now, Jerry, I'm going to give you a follow-up, okay? You feeling good about this?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. What did that say? What was that? When that curtain ripped from top to bottom, what was that communication?
That we all have access to the Almighty, and our prayers are just our relationship. It wasn't just settled for a high priest to go in and deal with our great God in heaven, our Father, but to open the door of grace and mercy to all men, wherever they are, whoever they are.
I love Jerry. Jerry is great. So the temple had this curtain, and when it was torn, the old was done. The new, I mean, it was literally the official. I mean, it's if you're going to mark the moment kind of thing. And in the Old Testament, just exactly what Jerry said, the Old Testament, the high priest went into the very presence of God and only once a year. And ironically, that was what? Dealing with sin. Now in the new covenant, the New Testament, we have access continually through Jesus Christ, which is the next part of Ephesians. And that temple cloth that tore, that temple curtain that tore, that was the official moment that it went, bing, it's over. And that was it. That is very good, my friend. You did an excellent job.
Well, thank you, and glory to the Lord.
Yeah, great job. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Great job. Jerry's great. Just great guy, knows it. That's exactly right. And that whole access that he talked about, we're going to talk about that in a second. Let me say this before we talk about the access. The access is like my, I don't want to say it's my favorite text because I have 50 trillion of them. Okay, well, it's not 50 trillion texts, but you get the idea. But listen to what it says, and just using what Jerry just said, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access, just what Jerry was talking about, to the Father by one Spirit. Before we break and before we come back, so I'm going to exposit on that access part. I want you to catch this, though. It's one of those cool things that people don't seem to see. But in Ephesians, as Paul is writing, and definitely under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there are multiple texts in Ephesians that show the Trinity as all part of our salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all a part of that connection and that communion with the Father. So here in verse 17, it says, he came and preached peace to you who were far away, that's the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, that's the Jews, right? Jesus first came to the Jews, then the Gentiles. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of salvation to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Jesus came and preached that, right? And through Jesus, we have access to the Father, which we didn't have. We were just talking about that, by one Spirit. So now you've got Jesus, who brings the peace and opens the door of access. We have access to the Father, to the throne room of the Father, to the presence of the Father, and this is functions by the Spirit. When people say, well, I don't think people need to pray in the Spirit, I'm not talking about tongues. I'm not talking about arguing about building yourself up in your most Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about any of that. Every Christian accesses the Father through Jesus and by the Spirit, period. It's just that some Christians have more of a I am open to whatever the Spirit wants to do attitude than other people may. And for those that get really offended, this will really irritate you. That's why we all coined the phrase the frozen chosen.
That's right.
We've been using that for years, right? Because some people are like, I know what my ecclesiastical requirements are. I go to church. I give. I smile. I wave. I shake. And I leave. There's a little bit more to Christianity than that. I will give the former great writer and great song singer Keith Green a lot of credit when he wrote the song No Compromise, that God wants more than Sunday and Wednesday nights. That's just a reality check. I know. It's very cool that we do a Wednesday night thing or a Thursday night thing. We do Thursdays. It's cool that we do Sundays. That's awesome. But God wants more, and we owe him more. But here in this text, you get to see that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in this process. Jesus preached peace. He was the sacrifice. He's the one that made it so. He's the Prince of Peace. Through him, Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father by the Spirit. So through Jesus, basically you can really understand this if you get really caught up in the Trinity misunderstandings. It's really simple. It's from the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. From the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And you think, well, why did God choose to reveal himself that way? Just to give us a little bit better understanding of who he is. It's so far beyond us. Remember, he's infinite. You're finite. So for your finite mind to comprehend infinite doesn't work. So he gives you a couple hints. He gives you a little bit of understanding. But we come back. My favorite part of the text is the access part, which Jerry had mentioned. We're going to key in on that. Don't go anywhere. Such a cool part. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll be right back.
I will lay me down.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you. for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay... He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Name the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's the first time you heard the Captain Crunch thing. I can why you never heard that before. He's a fraud. Anyway, one of my favorite cereals, Captain Crunch peanut butter. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. Here is our trivia question. You've got to be quick. We only have a limited amount of time. It is a trick question. It is a trick question. True or false? John the Baptist wore clothes made of goat's hair. True or false? True or false? John the Baptist wore clothes made of goat's hair. What's our number? 972-445-0770. Some people out there are going, what? It's okay. Here's the part I love. We were talking about this whole text. It's one of the better texts, I think. Well, all these texts are great. But here's what it says, Ephesians 2:14-18. For he himself is our peace. He made the two one, referring to Jew and Gentile, and destroyed the barrier and dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. Not Jew, not Gentile, but Christian. Thus making peace, and in his body reconcile both of them to God through the cross. Where's our reconciliation come from? The cross. By which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, Gentiles, and to peace to those who were near, the Jews. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That is one of the biggest keys there is. Jesus brought peace between these people and these new people and the Father through the cross. All the stuff rests solely on the work of Christ. All of salvation rests on the work of Christ, period. And for the Jews and for the Gentiles, the way to understand far and near, a good concert example might be that the Jews were in the front section, the Gentiles were in the back section, but now through Jesus, everybody has a backstage pass. Did you get that? That's important because of access. The Jews were in the front section, the Gentiles were in the back section, but now through Jesus, everybody has a backstage pass. pass. And as Jerry brought up when he called in and answered the question, it's about access. Because back in the Old Testament, the law instituted that only the high priest, when dealing with the direct sins of man, the direct sins of Israel, that is, could go into the very presence of God, and that only once a year. If that priest went in unprepared or didn't do something proper, he'd be immediately smitten. That was a big-time deal. And that priest was praying for the sins of the nation. But when Jesus came and sacrificed himself, he changed how the access works. And here's what the scripture says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. Interesting. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What Jesus did was changed the Yom Kippur process, the Levitical law that was established that only allowed the priest to go in once a year, and he opened up the Holy of Holies so that through the blood of Jesus, a new and living way has been created. Through him, we can access the very presence of God any time we want. Not just one day a year. Not just a specific hour during the day, not a specific week, not a specific holiday, but through Jesus Christ, you can come into the presence of God anytime. What's the shame? The shame is that we don't use this. The shame is that we don't access the very presence of God on a regular basis that has been enabled for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we don't come into the presence of God on a regular basis. And you think, what are you trying to talk about, Dave? You're trying to say that we should be praying on a regular basis, and like praying every day? Yes. That is what I'm saying. That's not even what I'm saying. That's what Scripture says. Through Jesus Christ, see, everybody always thought it was when the internet first came out and you got a website. And everybody's all like, oh, cool, it's a web page. We have a web page now. And the coolest thing is we can have a store on the web page. And now we really don't have hours because you can access the web page 24/7. Hey, guess what? That phenom is 2,000 years old. You can access the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ 24/7. Now, then. Fortunately, as we move to glorification and as the Lord wraps up the program, there won't be any separation between us and God. There won't be any physical presence separation. Well, we'll see him face to face. We'll know him as he is. That's going to be some awesome stuff. But between now and that time, whether it be a pre, mid, or post rapture, or whether it be different eschaton, who cares? You can access now. There's no excuse. We can go into the presence of God anytime we decide to. You think, well, that seems rather ridiculous. Seems like it's overly easy. You bet. And guess what? When we die and when we come before the Lord, though your eternity won't be based on it, you can count on it. God's going to ask you what you did with that. Oh, it won't have any bearing on whether you spend eternity with God or not, but you can count on that question is going to be coming down the pike for everybody. What'd you do with the access to the throne that I gave you through the blood of Jesus? I don't think the answer should be, well, I checked in once a month. I think that's a bad answer. And I think if you understand that, you understand, look, we have this gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ. It's access. I mean, it does make me think, you know, there's concerts, and Wonder Dude probably knows better than me, but they have passes. Like, you have passes at concerts, right? And then they used to have that all-access pass where you could go anywhere, anytime throughout the whole concert venue. That's pretty accurate, right?
Not in my lifetime, but okay. I've been the VIP person that got to do the meet and greet.
Okay, so there's this all-access pass that they give people that gives, and it really comes from Wayne's World.
Excellent.
It's totally excellent. Anyway, so you can get anywhere in the whole venue, anytime you want to. Jesus gave you an all-access pass to the presence of the Father. Okay. Tell me you didn't use that pass? Are you kidding? That's like going to a concert and staying in the nosebleed seats and never coming up to the stage or behind the... What? You still get to go to the concert, but man, did you miss... Right? We don't want to do that. So you got this Ephesians text that tells you. It says, look. And it's like, I know it's some people are still reeling from what I said about Melchizedek. You'll get over it. Here is the bottom line. He is our peace. He himself is our peace, who's made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. Refer to Romans 10:4. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. Refer to Romans 5. Thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Hallelujah. I mean, that's just cool. I mean, Jesus really made a new way for us to live. I think that's awesome. I'm into the expository stuff. Some people don't like it as much. I do. But I like all the other stuff, too. Let's see. I do want to give an answer to the question. The trick question, John the Baptist wore clothing made of goat's hair. The answer is false. Ooh, it was camel's hair. See, that's why it was a trick question, because I asked goat's hair. No, camel's hair. Okay. That's it. We're wrapped, right? We're done. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.